today. When Brother Robert Knox, called me up and asked me if I would like to be a guest speaker for your 137th anniversary, I said, yes, I would like to do that. I had such a good time the last time I was here during Thanksgiving that I want to come back. I often tell people about my experience here when I was here on Thanksgiving Day, that Thanksgiving time, and how wonderful it was. And whenever I say to people, I was up in Sayre, Pennsylvania, they always looked at me down in Philly and go, where's that at, So I have to explain it to them, But I'm glad to be here today, man. Today's your 137th anniversary, amen. Today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice in that, amen. And I'm so thankful to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day with God's people. It's always a joy to have fellowship with one another in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that we as Christians ought to look forward to fellowshipping with each other, amen. Iron sharpeneth iron, so does the countenance of a friend. So I consider ourselves friends here, but also I consider ourselves family, amen. Like Robert said, 1999, that's a long time, that was a few days before the end of the world was supposed to take place in the year 2000, but it never happened, did it? And we're still here waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ to come back here soon. For your church to be around for 137 years, that's a blessing from God. That's God's hand working upon this church and this community. I had an opportunity yesterday to go over to the train station museum and take a look at some of the history of Sayre, that you were a train shop town. But at the same time, you had a wonderful hospital here. And I learned a lot, and I appreciate history, amen. I think good history is blessed history, amen. And when it comes to the history of a local church ministry that's been around for 137 years, that's good history, amen. And that's a testimony to your community. And I'm very nostalgic. I love old churches. I love old Bibles, I went through your town and saw how some of the older buildings that were still around. So you still have an old theater over there. And I said, I used to have one of these old theaters around here. She said, yes. Mandy said, yes to me. I said, wow, that's good. I said, is it old on the inside as it looks like on the outside? And she said, yes, they still have a stadium-style seating there. And I remember as a kid growing up, going to a theater called Town Twins, and that was an old-style movie theater, too, and the same type of seating. Now, in South Philadelphia, or Center City Philadelphia, in the old city, we have the Borsch Theater, and that still has the old-style type of seating in there. But history is something wonderful to reflect upon. I enjoy hearing about how churches are started and how they grow and how they're used of God and how they're blessed and how they had an impact on the community. I love hearing the old-fashioned stories of the great men of God like Whitfield and Jonathan Edwards and D.L. Moody and Charles Spurgeon, all these old-timers years ago that were great men of God that preached the word of God. I love hearing the stories of revivals, amen? The old-fashioned revivals, I still believe in revivals, amen? I still believe that, revivals can take place. But that's up to God's people, whether revivals really going to take place. But I still believe in revival. I still that God can still bring revival in individuals' lives. I still believe that God can bring revival into our pastors. And let me tell you something. If you ever read the book, In His Steps, that pastor in that book needed revival. And if that pastor in that book needed revival, how much more do we need revival as pastors? So you pray for your pastor. Pray for Pastor Robert Nachi. I'm not saying he's not right with God, but listen, pray for revival for him. Pray for revival for me. Because when revival begins in the man of God, then revival is also going to spread into the hearts of God's people also. Amen? And I do believe that we still can see revival today. There was like two great awakenings that took place here in the history of the United States of America in the 1700s, during that 1720 era. It was the first great awakening. Then we saw the second great awakening later on in the 1800s. And I guess we're still waiting on some of the third great awakening. But it could take place because even though from a human standpoint, even from our own mindset, we kind of sit back and go, there's no hope for America. There's no hope for revival. There's no hope for our local church ministries anymore. Look at the condition there is. There's no movement. It just seems like deadness out there. Listen, with God, all things are possible. Remember, revival doesn't begin with special meetings, and revival doesn't begin with fancy advertisement. Revival doesn't begin with choirs coming in and special music. You know where revival begins? It begins in God's people, and God's people in their hearts, down on their knees, praying. And we see that in the Old Testament. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Amen? So I thank the Lord for the history of revival. And I also thank the Lord for the history that I've known over the years growing up. You know, there are times I long for the days of the beginning of my Christian life. I do. I often reflect upon the day I got saved. Never lose that joy of your salvation. Amen? And if you get to that place where you feel like that joy is not there, go back, get on your knees, and ask the Lord to help you remember the day you got saved. Because if there's ever a time in your life that brings a smile on your face or joy in your heart, the day that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? And this morning, I'm going to share with you some wonderful things that God has laid on my heart for this anniversary Sunday here at Sarah, the First Baptist Church of Sarah. And I believe that this message is going to be a blessing to you, as it was for me preparing it. And I pray that this will just bring that joy, bring that excitement, bring that zeal back. You know what I mean? That enthusiasm. You know, one time I had mentioned from the pulpit in my first church about how we need excitement in our hearts, right? We need excitement again in our churches. We need people to be excited. I got pulled aside in a meeting for using the word excitement. And the person that said to me, "Well, why are you using the word excitement for? Don't you realize that excitement is an emotional experience? And with emotional experiences, sometimes emotions can let you down." And I said, "Yeah, we know that sometimes our emotions can let us down. But what's wrong with the word excitement?" Amen? Because we need to get excited again about being born again Christians. Amen? And I believe that the perfect time to get ourselves going again, I believe that the perfect time to start seeing revival again is on our anniversary Sundays, amen? There are a lot of churches throughout the United States, a lot of Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches that are 200 years and even older. And many of them have some wonderful histories behind them. But just because they're 200 years old, that means that wonderful history just doesn't start and stop at older churches. It continues on in other churches also. So this morning, I would like to share with you here on this anniversary Sunday, remembering thy mighty works. Now, Pastor Nachi brought up the word remember, remember, remember. And I'm there going, "Oh, Lord, please, I hope he's not going to cover some of my message. I need some preach on here tomorrow, you know?" But he talked about remember. And that's exactly what anniversaries are all about. Anniversary time is a time of celebration, amen? This is a time of celebration. It's not just a time of just going to church and worshiping. This is a time of celebrating. This is a time of rejoicing. This is a time of wonderful Christian fellowship, amen? And this is the time for what Baptists do what's best. We go out to eat after church, amen? Baptists love to eat, amen? So this is a wonderful time of celebration. It's a time when families and friends gather together to celebrate the time of blessings. Whether it's a wedding, a job anniversary, or a church anniversary, it's a time to remember, rejoice, and give thanks to the Lord for the chapters that He has established in our lives, that He has blessed us with all these years. Amen? Each year you celebrate an anniversary, that's another chapter in the history of First Baptist Church of Sarah. Each year, you so far have 137 chapters to your living book as a local church ministry here at Sarah, First Baptist Church of Sarah. And as the years move on, each chapter you read has, you read different things in each chapter. You'll read the beginning of a wonderful history. You'll read the middle of the church history. And you'll read that chapter that is right now, that 137th chapter in the history of your living book as a local church ministry, which talks about you here today and your pastor, Pastor Robert Nachi, and his wonderful wife, Mandy Nachi. So we are going to celebrate here this morning. And as a guest speaker, I hope that I can just encourage you to celebrate with me, amen? Because I'm here celebrating. You know, I travel all the way up from Philadelphia, all along that 476, all along that traffic, you know. Well, why am I here today? Because I'm here because I love the Lord. Amen. I'm here because I love Brother Robert Nachi and his wife Mandy. Amen. And I love you people here at First Baptist Church of Sip. So I was excited to be here with you today. So when you take a look at what anniversary is, there are a lot of people who kind of wonder, what is anniversary all about? Now, for some of us who have been married for a while, we know what anniversaries are. It's a yearly celebration of being tied together here as husband and wife. But Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines anniversary as follows. The annual reoccurrence of a date marking a notable event. You know that one? Let me read that again. The annual reoccurrence of a date marking a notable event. On this anniversary Sunday, you here at the First Baptist Church of Sarah are coming to celebrate the annual reoccurrence of the birthday of your local church ministry over 130 years of God's blessings and his continual work here at your church. This anniversary Sunday is a celebration of dates marking a notable event that took place, first of all, on November 1st, 1885, the First Baptist Church meeting was held in Sayre at Knights of Honor Hall. That's a notable time in your history. That's a reoccurrence. That's what we're doing here. We're remembering how this all began. Everything has a beginning. But remember, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And as long as the people here at First Baptist Church of Sarah and the pastor here continues to stand upon God's word and still purpose in their heart to continue the ministry and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will continue to use his church in a wonderful and miraculous way. 1885 was the first meeting. Plus, the pulpit has been filled with godly men proclaiming the truth of God's word with power and strength. From Pastor W.H. Main, who preached a first evangelistic service on May 1887. Then Pastor Oscar R. McCain preached the first sermon in the basement on August the 21st of 1887. Then we have here, on Christmas 1887, Pastor D.H. Cooper preached the first sermon in the non-finished sanctuary to D.L. Moody, preaching here, from what I heard in your history, to your present wonderful pastor, Pastor Robert Nachi. Amen? Now, the official date seems to be 1888, but as Pastor Nachi said in the beginning, if you trace back the history of First Baptist Church of Sarah, it kind of goes back a little bit farther to a couple more years before that. But think about the man of God and the people of God that had a vision for the Lord Jesus Christ to reach Sarah, Pennsylvania for Jesus. This is where the vision begins in 1885. And continues even until today. I still believe that your pastor has a vision for lost souls. Amen? I really believe that we all need a vision for lost souls. Even at our church, at Grace Independent Baptist Church, this is the year that I challenged our people and our congregation to go out there and reach the lost for Christ. Because I believe that a lot of the local church ministries have lost their vision and love for lost souls. And when you lose your vision and love for lost souls, eventually you could end up losing your church also. And the thing is, I wanted to challenge our people, because we're living in a day and age where, you know, it takes work to build up a great ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes work, it takes workers, it takes time, it takes patience, and it takes prayer, amen? To build up a good work for the Lord Jesus Christ. This church here is a result of people who have purpose in their heart to pray, to seek God's face, to look towards his word for wisdom. This is the result of God's hand of blessing. But please do not lose your vision and love for lost souls, because in the New Testament, the local church ministry was built on soul winning. It was built on reaching the lost. And as we see that as a need in our churches nowadays, it's a need at Grace Independent Baptist Church also. Our church needs to be a soul-winning church. So what we did in this year, we said we were going to have our new theme for the year, a new love and a new vision for lost souls. The ultimate goal that the church members and those who faithfully attend the church services, their ultimate goal is to pray about it, go out there, and ask the Lord to give them one lost soul that they can bring to the Lord Jesus Christ, either through personal evangelism or by going out there and bringing them into the local church ministry to hear the Word of God as the Word of God is being preached. So praise God here for what we have here. There's no doubt about it. When I drive past this church, I say, there it is. There's the church, First Baptist Church of Sayre. The First Baptist Church of Sayre has a rich history, as Pastor Nacha has already shared with us. It's a rich history of God's blessings throughout the 37 years. So this morning, I'd like for you to take your Bible and turn to Psalms chapter 77. Psalms chapter 77. Psalms chapter 77. Again, the title of this message this morning is Remembering Thy Mighty Works. Remembering Thy Mighty Works. Psalms 77, verse 11 through 15. We are going to focus on verse 11 through 12. That's going to be my key verses for this message. But I want to read the remainder of these verses. Here we go. Psalm 77, verse 11 through 15. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Why thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Sheila. The verses that we're going to focus on are verse 11 and 12. Again, let me repeat that. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doing. Let's go into prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to preach and teach the Word of God here at First Baptist Church of Sayre, Pennsylvania, Lord. What a wonderful, blessed opportunity that I have been given. I'm very humbled by it, Lord. I feel very lowly about it, dear Lord, because, you know, I just thank you so much, Lord, for the Christian life you've given to me, Lord. And I thank you so much, Lord, for the Christian life that you have given to Pastor Robert Nachi and Mandy, Lord. And I thank you so much, Lord, for the Christian lives that you have given to the people here at First Baptist Church of Sayre, Lord. And Lord, we pray for your hand of blessing to be upon this preacher, dear Lord. You know how this preacher can preach sometimes and how it can get sometimes, Lord. But I pray, Father, that I rely upon the Holy Spirit. So even this morning, as I get ready to share the Word of God, I want to make sure, Lord, that I am endued with power from on high. I need the Holy Spirit's help, dear Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit will help me, give me clarity, give me vision in my message, and give me clear thoughts, Lord, so I don't go blank sometimes like I like to do. But, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would just bring this anniversary Sunday to the people here at Sayre. And I pray, dear Lord, that this will be a Sunday that they will always remember. That this will be a Sunday of great celebration of 137 years. In Jesus' name, amen. I will remember the works of the Lord, the psalmist has written here. That is so important. We cannot lose track of remembering what God has done in our lives as individuals, what God has done here in the pulpits, what God has done in your life as a congregation. It's something that we must work at and remember, because we live in a day and age where this modern world battles. It battles for our times. It battles for our memories. It battles us in all areas of our lives. And a lot of times we get so consumed with everyday lives that we tend to what? Forget what God has done. Now you may say, Pastor Joe, you don't mean that pastors and deacons and trustees and Sunday school teachers and church members, are you saying that there are times that we as a Christian kind of like tend to forget what God has done? Yes. You know what a proof of the pudding is in that? We need revival. We need revival. Look at the modern day Christian church. The modern day Christian church today has forgotten the great and mighty works that God has done. Look at the consequences of Israel. When they forgot the great and mighty works of what God has done, did they not get in trouble? Yes or no? They got themselves in trouble big time. We can't forget those things. And then it says here, surely I will remember the wonders of old. Amen? Now, we like history, right? I like history. I like to go to Washington, D.C. I like to take a look at the monuments there. I like to take a look at the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Monument, the Lincoln Monument. Why? Because when I go there, who does it remind me of? George Washington. Who does it remind me of? Abraham Lincoln. Who does it remind me of? Thomas Jefferson. When I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and visit the Battle of Gettysburg, you go there and you learn that rich history of what took place there. From a human standpoint, it humbles you of what went on there. You know what I'm saying? Well, we have our stories when we go out there, you know? When we spent the weekends out there at a hotel, we've had our little experiences with weird stuff. But the thing is, let me say this, share this with you. The rich history that took place there changed this nation. It is said that at the Battle of Gettysburg, that changed the course of the Civil War. It changed the course of the Civil War. And when it comes to the Christian life, we must not forget the spiritual monuments that the Lord has established for us to remember. The spiritual monuments. The spiritual, greatest spiritual monument that we can remember is the cross of Calvary, amen? The cross itself. What does the cross of Calvary remind us? What kind of monument? What does it remind us of? Christ's death, burial, resurrection. That was when what? Christianity started. So there's an anniversary even for that that we can remember. Again, what is the anniversary? It's the annual reoccurrence of a date marking a notable event. And we often, when it comes to the reoccurrences of the Christian faith, two major reoccurrences. What is it? Christmas and Easter. That's the anniversary that we remember Christ's birth, and the anniversary that we remember Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So when it comes to the mighty works of God here, it tells us that we are to meditate on it. Also, of all thy work. And I like this last part in this Bible verse. Now let's read this last part in verse 12. That little bit, what does it say there? And what? And talk of thy doings. Amen? And talk of thy doings. So that means as you take time here today to celebrate your anniversary and remember the mighty works of God and remember the mighty wonders that God did here over the years and then meditate on it, because that's what we're doing today. We're meditating on it here in this service. The Lord also tells us in the Word of God that we as a local church ministry, you as a local church ministry, and your pastor as the pastor as a local church ministry, is to go out into the community of Sarah, Pennsylvania here and go and proclaim the wonderful works of what God has done here at the First Baptist Church of Sarah, Pennsylvania. The concept of God's mighty works is the central theme throughout the Bible. Reflecting his power, his sovereignty, and divine intervention in the world, these works are often declared in many of his acts that we see that he actually does in the Bible. It reveals his acts, it reveals God's character, it fulfills promises, and also it demonstrates his authority over creation. Yes, God is the creator of heaven and earth, amen? God is the creator of the human race, amen? But at the same time, God is also the creator of Bible-believing, Bible-teaching churches through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, first of all, this morning, I would like to share with you my first point, remembering the mighty works of yesteryears. Remembering the mighty works of yesteryears. What God has done. Okay, what God has done. In the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, as the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River, the Lord had told the children of Israel to build these 12 stones and leave this marker of 12 stones on the shoreline there, right? To be able to remind them of what took place there, okay? And also, we find, too, that and whenever their children would ask them of these markers, they would tell them of the great and mighty acts that God had performed for the children of Israel. Remembering is a time of remembering the start of a beautiful beginning. Remembering the good old days. Now, for some of us who are getting older, right? And some of us, or you who are older than me, we remember the good old days, huh? The good old days, you know? We sometimes sit back and we think about the good old days and we long for the good old days and we wish that we could remember the good old days, but we know that that's not going to happen. But the memory of good old days is what often keeps us going in life itself. Because we can take the good old days and apply them to our present days, amen? And take the good old days in our present days and leave it as a future hope for our children. For a future hope for our children. It's work in the local church ministry nowadays trying to build up a youth group. It's work in our local church ministry nowadays trying to build up children's ministries. It takes work, folks. It's not easy. Now, there's a different generation of children out there, different generation of teenagers out there. You got to really battle and buy for their time and try to stir up some type of interest for them to come to church and present to them something that's old that can be present in their time that will give them the future. Because I'm telling you again, our children is the future of our local church ministries. And we need to be bathing our time in prayer for the children to come out to church. Whenever I think of a great, great Sunday school teacher, I think about D.L. Moody when he first got saved and wanted to teach children. It is said that D.L. Moody went to his pastor, and his pastor told him, he said to his pastor that he wanted to be a Sunday school teacher, and he was told that there was no room for him to be a Sunday school teacher. If he wanted to be a Sunday school teacher, he would go ahead and have to go out there and try to get up his own kid, get up his own class. So he went out there, and he borrowed a pony, or a donkey, I think it was, and he ended up giving him rides to Sunday school class, and he ended up with one of the largest children's Sunday school classes in the church. Many churches are remembered in the good old days as large men's fellowships and large women's fellowships and large Sunday school classes and large teenage ministries. And those things are great. Not all of us can have something large all the time. Let me tell you something. At our church, I'd be just glad to have a youth group. Amen. I'd be just glad to have a nice Sunday school class. Amen. To me, it doesn't matter the size of those groups. It matters that we have those groups, amen? And that we are making a difference in their lives. So we are remembering the start of a beautiful beginning, remembering the good old days, and definitely you have some good old days here, amen? Like when I came up here to preach at this pulpit again, I thought about who preached in this pulpit, you know? And I got a bottle of water down there, and I was thirsty before I began. So I was thinking, okay, I'll take my water up there, and I'll take it up there with me. I'll sip on it while I'm preaching, right? And then I thought about, wait a minute here. D.L. Moody preached here. I said, I can't come up here putting no water stains on this pulpit here. I said, man, there's some great men of God that preach at this pulpit. And I said to myself, you know what, Lord? I'm going to leave my bottle right down there, Lord. I'm going to trust you to help me not be thirsty, man. But the thing is that everything has a beginning, from life to inventions to organizations. We need to remember the days of revival. And I'm sure that you've had your days of revivals here. I'm sure that you had your tent meetings. I'm sure that you had your revival meetings. I'm sure that you had your evangelistic meetings. Just like I said here in the beginning of my message, there was a man here who came here, Pastor W.H. Main, who preached the first evangelistic service for the First Baptist Church of Sarah, Pennsylvania. What's an evangelistic service? To go out there and reach lost souls through the Lord Jesus Christ. He was here to evangelize. He was here to encourage you to evangelize. Do the work of an evangelist. And you've had those men here, especially D.L. Moody. I'm sure that you've had your mission conferences here. Whenever you have missionaries in here, you have a little mini mission conference, I believe. Mission conference is important. I believe that when you take a look at the local church ministry, there are two important aspects of the local church ministry when it comes to how it works. You have the local church ministry itself. You have what the church is, the soul winning aspect of the church. Amen? And then the other important part of the church is missions outreach. Missions outreach. What was the purpose of Christ coming? What was the ministry and work of the Lord Jesus Christ here? To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are to be an evangelistic ministry. We are to be an evangelistic church. And these are the things that we need to remind us. If God did that in times past, God can do that now. If God can do that now, God can do it in the future. Because nothing is impossible with the Lord God Almighty. God can do anything. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything he can. There's nothing impossible for God. He's God. He's the Almighty God. He's Jehovah. He's Elohim. He's El Shaddai. He's Adonai. He is the great and mighty God, and we have him as our God in our lives because of the Lord Jesus Christ. God can do it. God can fill this church up by Christmas time, amen? I'm pretty sure that would be a blessing, huh? Can you imagine having a candlelight Christmas service here and having to pack that house? God can do those things. It takes work. 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 It takes prayer. It takes prayer. It takes prayer. It takes effort. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to do these things. Then we take a look at remembering the lives that were changed. Now, I've been pastor in Grayson Pentecostal Church now for 16 years. All 16 years, I've been a bivocational pastor. That's just God's will for my life. There are some out there that may dispute that. There are some out there who do not believe in a pastor being a bivocational pastor. But you got to do what you have to do because the Apostle Paul was a tent maker, right? But God has called me to pastor churches in this aspect of my Christian life as a pastor. And the thing is, I don't regret it. I thank God. For 16 years, I've served as the pastor of Grace Independent Baptist Church. And for 16 years, we've worked our community. For 16 years, we've gone soul winning. For 16 years, we've had special meetings. For 16 years, all these things. And you know what? The testimony of our church is known in our community. The testimony of our church is known in our community. And that's what God wants. We are not out there to draw attention to us. We are out there to draw attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. By doing that, people know that we are a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. Amen? And your testimony is important to your community. The area of Sarah here needs to know who you are as a body of believers. Because for over 137 years, there's no doubt about it. They know who you are as a church, right? But do they know who you are as a body of believers? Do they know who you are as born-again Christians? Do you know who you are as saints? That's important. Because there are a lot of churches today who are known by their names and known by their buildings, and they're known by their histories, but they're not known by their people. And there's something wrong there. The people need to know who you are. Listen, if the politicians can get out there twice a year and knock on your door and ask you to vote for them, how much more should we weekly, bi-weekly, whenever you can do it, go out there and knock on doors for the Lord Jesus Christ? If they can go out there and hand out their ballot sheets to you and say, hey, listen, my name is so-and-so, and I'm running for a local Congress position. Here is my name. Here is my number. Here, I'm going to give you this flyer. Please vote for me on Election Day. How much more can we go out there with a gospel tract? Hey, I'm for First Baptist Church of Sarah, Pennsylvania here. I'm here going door to door, and I got something I want to give you. I want you to know about Jesus Christ, and here's something else too. I want you to know about our church and our people. A good name is to be chosen rather than what? Great riches. Amen? May the people know who you are. Not just by built name, not just by building, not just by history, but please, pray. Make sure that the people of Sarah know who you really are. That you are God's people, chosen by God the day that you got saved. Now, I'm not saying that you're God's chosen people. So anybody watching this, don't say, hey, Pastor Joe just said that the local church ministry is the God's chosen people. No. Israel is God's chosen people. But we are chosen by God the day that we what? We see Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are chosen to be part of the family of God. Amen? So we see here that people's lives were changed as a result of being saved. People's lives here were saved from a life that wasn't pleasing to God to a new life in Christ, abundant and free. And those who are saved and those who are changed have also been serving. I'm sure that many of you in your history, many of you here and throughout your history, you've had men, women come into this church, get saved, got changed, served, and went on to serve somewhere else. Perhaps some as pastors, perhaps some as missionaries, perhaps some as an evangelist, maybe some as a Sunday school teacher, or even holding the office here, office of a deacon or a treasurer or a trustee here at your church. That's a changed life. A changed life that only Jesus can change. Secondly, here this morning, remembering the mighty works today. Remember what God's doing right now. Okay, we already covered your history, right? We went back in time, amen? The time machine of the mind. But now, let's take a look at what we find here. What God is doing right now, because even here, in Psalms chapter 77, we see that mentioned in verse 12. I will meditate also on all thy works. Right now. Meditate on all thy works right now. What is God doing here? Embrace the moment that God has given to you. You know, when I was here back in during Thanksgiving time, you were getting ready to have your Christmas Day parade. I was asking about that, how it went. I was told it was a cold day. But I heard it went good and you had fun. Those are the moments we live by. Throughout the whole entire year of 2025, there are moments throughout this year that I want to encourage you, and I know that God wants to encourage you to embrace and look forward to. Amen? Just as much as some of your birthdays are coming up. You're looking forward to your birthday, right? Some of you are getting ready to go on vacation. You're looking for your vacation. You want to embrace those moments. You want to make your own memories, right? Well, that's what the Lord wants us to do this year. That's what the Lord wants you to do this year. Embrace the moment that God has given to you this year. Embrace your anniversary Sunday. Embrace your future meetings. Embrace your summertime children's vacation school. Embrace that. Embrace that. Give of your best to it. Make it the best. Pray that it will be the best. Pray that you reach all the children for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever it comes into the fall time, I'm not sure what you do during like September or October, okay? But I know that in November, your Thanksgiving service, your tie and praise night, embrace those things because these are the special moments that God has given to you. And if the Lord lays on your heart to do something new this year, embrace that too. If Brother Pastor Robert Nachi turns around and comes up with a new idea, embrace that new idea. Embrace it. Because whatever God lays upon this man's heart when he's down on his knees and praying, that's what God wants him to do. And you have to accept it and embrace that, that this is what God lays on his heart. And we are going to do the best we can to embrace that vision that Pastor Nachi has for us to do. The Bible says when there is no vision, the people perish. We have to have a vision. We have to see things. In Christian theology, God works through the church in various ways. Primarily, now get this, right? Embrace what I'm going to give you. And make it your own now, ready? How does God work through the church in various ways? Primarily by empowering believers, amen? By empowering believers. That's how the local church ministry works. Yeah, he empowers the leadership, but he empowers the believers in the church. Are you saying, Pastor Joe, that I can be empowered by God? Yes. Yes, anybody here can be empowered by God to do something in a great and mighty way. Well, guess what, Pastor Joe? Pastor Nachi asked me to do something that's out of my ordinary. That's not my character. It's not my comfort zone. Listen, wherever God leads you, God's going to empower you. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. If a pastor is being empowered, how much more should deacons be empowered? Amen? I believe that every deacon can have that same empowerment that the pastor has to. Amen? I really believe that. Secondly here, guiding their actions. Lord, guide us along what we could do. Amen? Listen, there's a song out there, Jesus Take the Wheel. You probably heard that country song. Jesus Take the Wheel, you know? Let me tell you something. Let Jesus take the wheel in your life, amen? And let Jesus guide you. Let Jesus be your co-pilot. Let Jesus be your helmsman. Let Jesus be your tour guide in your Christian life. And let the Lord Jesus guide you in your actions. What would Jesus do? And when Jesus shows you what he would do, put that into action, amen? Put that into action. You got faith? Put your faith into action by stepping out for the Lord. Thirdly here, using them to spread the gospel, amen? God can use you to spread the gospel. When the Bible says go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, the Lord wasn't just talking to the apostles and disciples. He wasn't saying only apostles can go and be soul winners. Only pastors can be soul winners. He's not saying that. Every person here this morning, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, whether you're just a lay person, it doesn't matter. We all can go out there and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to our communities. We can all do it. You can be, well, Pastor Joe, I don't know what to say. You know what? You don't know what to say? Share your testimony. Tell people how you got saved. Amen? Tell them how you got saved. Well, I don't know a whole lot of scriptures. Guess what? Just share your testimony. There's a children's story that we often tell to children for Sunday school, junior church, or maybe a Bible club. It's called Barney's Barrel. And I'm not sure how many of you know the story of Barney's Barrel, but there was this boy who lived in Chicago during a snowstorm. And he was an orphan. He lived on the street. The way he made his money was he went out there and he would go out and sell papers. He was what they call a newsie. Remember the newsies? Here, hey, what did they say? Here, the local news, whatever they cried out. They were called newsies. And he made his money as a newsie. Now, some of us are newsies, but we're not that kind of newsies, okay? I'm that way. I'm a South Philly newsie, man. I live in South Philly. Anything happens in my community, my dog worried on me, or the first person's at the window looking at what's going on. We are always nosy, you know? I got a nosy dog. I got a nosy me. I'm nosy in that area. But I'm not talking about that type of. I'm talking about one who gives local news. And in that story, One day he was cold and he was shivering and it was raining and it was mixed rain and snow. And he went past a local mission. And as he went past the local mission, he saw the light on the door open and he saw and looked inside and all of a sudden he turned around and he went inside because he was going to get himself warm. And while he listened to the preacher preach, guess what? That little boy walked the aisle, responded to the invitation, and received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. After he got saved, he had a good time, was warm, had something good to eat, was all warmed up, and he went back home. You know where his home was? In the alleyway of Chicago in a barrel. He slept in a barrel. It wasn't some cardboard house like you see some homeless people sleeping in. It was a barrel. And during that night, it was so cold and rainy that he was wet. And a police officer came by and looked inside, and he saw him shivering. He took him to the hospital. They put him in the hospital. He ended up with pneumonia. While he was in the hospital, he had a doctor and two nurses. Two nurses wait on him. That boy knew nothing about any Bible verse, but he knew something about a personal relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that night, he witnessed to his doctor and two nurses, and they both got saved. Later that day, he died. He passed away. He went to heaven. And in heaven, as he stood before the Lord greeted him, and the Lord gave him three crowns. Three crowns. What were those three crowns? Those crowns are known as the soul winner's crowns. Did Barney know any Bible verses? I doubt it. All he knew is what he heard. All he knew is what he did. All he knew is what took place. And that made him a soul winner. So you don't have to know the Bible from front to back. Just share your testimony. Because for every soul that you lead to Jesus, there's a reward for you in the heaven. Serving Jesus is wonderful. Again, how God does God work through the church? Lastly, build up the community. The local church ministry is just not in the community. The local church ministry is to be part of the community. Amen? And it's our job to be a part of the community. Remember, what did I say? The community knows the name. The community knows the building. The community knows the history. But the community does not know the people. You know what that makes the church? That makes the church part of the in the community. That makes the church in the community. But the one thing that's missing are the people. It's the people that make the church part of the community. Through your special services. Through your food banks, your food pantries. By going out there and participating in the Christmas Day parade, amen? That's you being a part of the community. And whatever else you may do here, you as a local church ministry at this present time, your history tells you what you did, but your present time, you are to be not just in the community, you are to be a part of the community. And find whatever way you can to be a part of that community, to make a difference in that community. Because the Bible says, and some having compassion, making a difference. Too many churches just exist. And I don't want you to exist. I don't want my church, Grace Independent Baptist Church, to exist. I don't want us just existing. I want us to be living for the Lord Jesus Christ and living for lost souls and living for the community to make a difference in the people's lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit plays a role in this process, equipping individuals with gifts and leading them to fulfill God's purpose. Quickly on this point. Remember the mighty works today? The mighty works God will perform by his promise, by remembering the promises that he made to me and you, and what he will do in our lives in the future. I like what Jeremiah chapter 33:3 says. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. And what? Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Wow. Lord, I want those great and mighty things. I don't want to miss out on those great and mighty things. Those great and mighty things are great and mighty things that proclaim the name of Christ. That great and mighty thing is a testimony for your church. That great and mighty thing is a testimony for you. Those great and mighty things can be used to reach your community. The mighty works of God will be accomplished through visions. Again, where there is no vision, the people perish. The mighty works of God will bring about a bright and glorious tomorrow. Amen? Where there is no vision, the people perish. At Walt Disney World, there's a carousel of progress for all those who know what that is. They're getting rid of that soon. They're going to take away the carousel of progress. And oftentimes I will actually quote this when it comes to a bright, beautiful tomorrow. It says this: there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. And tomorrow's just a dream away. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and for me. So there's a bright, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a bright, big, beautiful tomorrow just a dream away. Folks, whether you know it or not, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. And that light of the world shines forth, that saving grace of that light of the world shines in their hearts of sinful men, that saving grace. And not only does that light of the world shine into the hearts of lost souls, not only does that shine into our local church ministries, but that shining light of the Lord Jesus Christ also will shine forth into our communities. To the people of First Baptist Church of Sarah, Pennsylvania, I want to say this. Look around you right now. Embrace what you have right now, because this is what it's all about. There's a bright, big, beautiful tomorrow that's awaiting you in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a bright, big, beautiful tomorrow of great things that God is going to do in your local church ministry. There's a bright, big, beautiful tomorrow how God's going to bless you in your Christian life. There's a bright, big, beautiful tomorrow because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Remember, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't quit, because there is a bright, big, beautiful tomorrow. Because God is still on the throne. He is still in control. He will bring about his will. Stay the course. Keep the faith. The future looks bright because all things are possible in Christ. D.L. Moody. I wanted to have a quote since I'm preaching in a church that D.L. Moody preached in. Most likely preaching at a pulpit that D.L. Moody preached at. I want to quote D.L. Moody. He said this: the world has yet to see what God will do with a man who is fully consecrated to him. By God's help, I am to be that man. The world has yet to see what God can do with a man or a woman who is totally sold out to them. Sarah, Pennsylvania has yet to see what God can do to the people of First Baptist Church of Sarah who are sold out to him. God can do everything. And if God could do those things, then I want to encourage the pastor, the deacons, the trustee, and the people of Sarah, First Baptist Church of Sarah, Pennsylvania, I want to encourage you to do this. Call out to God. Call out to God. Call out to God and say what D.L. Moody says. If the community has yet to see what God can do with people who are sold out to them, by God's help, we are going to be the church to accomplish this. We are going to be the church to accomplish this. I think there's still a lot of work to be done here in this community. Met a pastor from an independent Baptist church yesterday from Waverly, New York. There are churches of like faith in this area, just no doubt about it. But just because there are churches of like faith in this area doesn't mean that there's not work for you to do. Don't worry about the other churches crisscrossing your territory. Just work your territory, man. This is your harvest field. Not Waverly, not Athens, not other areas around here. Your harvest field that God blessed you with for 137 years is Sarah, Pennsylvania. Work the harvest field. Get out there. Knock on doors. What happens is this. There needs to be a total surrender, a total consecration, a total commitment. That's what makes that. That's what the mighty works of God is all about when it comes to the future. Through the mighty works of God, we as Christians and a local church ministry can see the beauty of the Lord through our place of worship. Here this morning, on your 137th anniversary, we can see the beauty of the Lord. Closing Bible verse, Psalms chapter 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to acquire his temple. I love this Bible verse. This is one of my life first Bible verses. The one thing I like about this is this: to behold the beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord is seen in the man of God. The beauty of the Lord is seen in the people of God. The beauty of the Lord can be seen in our communities. This morning, I want to encourage you. Lord, one thing, First Baptist Church of Sarah, Pennsylvania, ought to desire is to seek after the Lord. To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your lives, to behold the beauty of the Lord in this congregation, and to inquire in his temple. 137 years of beauty. Let's continue to shine forth the beauty. May you continue to shine forth the beauty of the Lord in Sarah, Pennsylvania. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Let's stand together, bow our heads, and close our eyes. Nobody looking around this morning. Thank you for that message this morning from Pastor Joe. And have you stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around.